Welcome to Brad Golf Podcast, a podcast for the average golfer. My name is Dermot Bradfield and golf is in my blood. Join me as I fumble my way around this fascinating sport. Welcome back to Brad Golf. It's the 9th of September 2020. This is episode 16 of the Brad Golf Podcast series. Yeah, we're on episode 16 already. This week, we're going to recap on the Tour Championship. We look at Nigel's picks for the Safeway Open. We'll discuss current events in the PGA Tour and, more importantly, back at home here in Ireland. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, please do. You'll find Brad Golf TV on Anchor, Google, Apple, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public, plus many more. Please follow, like, retweet, and share on social media. You'll find Brad Golf TV on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and you'll find bradgolf.ie on Facebook. You can also contact us at bradgolftv@gmail.com. So first off, how are you, Nigel? Welcome back.
Dermot, how are you going?
Good, well. Thank you. Yeah, good. You golfing much?
I was playing twice in the weekend. President's Prize was a bit of a non-event, really.
Okay. Didn't happen for you?
Couple of balls went out of bounds, so.
Okay.
Didn't trouble the judge. I played in Headford Junior Scratch on Sunday. It was very enjoyable.
How was the course? How were the conditions on the day on Sunday?
Well, the weather was lovely. Conditions are a bit heavy down there. There was placing on the fairways. The course is, I really enjoy the course. It is a bit tight though. You have to be hitting it straight, which I wasn't really for a lot of it.
Okay.
I managed to, I didn't break 80. I got an 81. I had a couple of birdies though, and I missed a couple of other ones. Very good chances. It's a course that it gives you a lot of chances if you're hitting the ball straight off the tee. You can do very well. I think 73 may have won it.
Oh, it's good scoring.
The junior scratch. Yeah, there was a senior scratch as well. 70, I think I heard 70 may have won. I don't know, I'll have to check. Yeah. I got that information from a member. So.
Right. Worth a trip on you. Definitely worth a trip.
Yeah, well, I normally, when I play there, I've played the new course mainly, and that's an amazing course. So I didn't really know the old course very well. I'd only played it once before, and that was about 4 years ago. So it was actually difficult to remember a lot of it. That's which would have helped, but it's a good challenge. It's a different challenge to the old, and really they're quite blessed down at Headford Golf Club with two good courses like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the President's was surprisingly 70 won it. So net 70. Won the President's. We're used to seeing 60s for medals, 64, 66, 68 kind of stuff for medals. Conditions were tough. But also I find mud balls, Nigel, there's plenty of mud balls, and we're probably getting close now to a decision around placing in the fairways and lift clean in place. What do you reckon on that front?
Well, as I said, that's what they had in Headford, and I think that's what we need in Donabate.
Yeah. Come to that point.
It's not as bad in Donabate, but balls are still picking up muck. I think it's needed.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll have a decision on that soon. Because I played Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and I did find, in particular on Monday, there was a lot of mud being picked up. So it's not getting any better, and it's unlikely to get any better from here on, let's be honest. Moving on from that, and the golf weekend that was, the golf season on the PGA has come to an end. What a season it was, for many reasons, obviously COVID being one factor, but since it's come back, it's been incredible to watch. And the Tour Championship, well, I'm just going to quickly summarize DJ, and I'll let you come in then, but DJ was supreme in the entire FedEx series, let's be honest, but he was absolutely supreme at the Tour Championship. His season peaked beautifully, and he was a wonderful, worthy winner of the Tour Championship. Some great par saves down the stretch with some clutch putting. And his final four finishes on the season was tied second, first, second, first. So I think, you know, there's no arguing he's a deserving FedEx Cup champion. What did you think of DJ's performance?
Oh, without doubt, he was the the deserved champion of the FedEx Cup. Unbelievable performance, especially in TPC Boston. He could have won the BMW Championship. The playoffs overall were a great finish to a disrupted season. He was comfortable over the weekend. I think his performance in the third round at Eastlake kind of stamped his authority on the tournament. I know he had an advantage going out in the sense that he had at least a two-shot lead over the second guy, and it's you know, he was already shots ahead of most of the others. But he, you know, it takes a lot to front run, and Dustin is one of the best in the game, without doubt, the number one player in the world at the moment. He's looking good for the US Open. It was a little bit of a damp squib, I think, on Sunday.
Yeah.
I know Xander came back at him, and so did JT to a certain extent, but he always looked quite comfortable. Yeah, it was good. I think BMW Championship probably stood out the best of the events. But it was a good finish to the season. We don't have much of a break.
We don't. But as you said, though, on the front running, so interestingly then, and I know you said it last week, the leaders have a very poor record here, and they do as regards to winning it out. But he was the first since 2009, since Tiger Woods, to lead going into the Tour Championship and then win it. So that was, and to do that in the fashion he did, it just shows you, I think he's head and shoulders above others at the moment. There's no doubt.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so moving on then from the FedEx Cup, as you said, you don't have much off-season here, so we're straight into it. New season, the wraparound, as they call it. The new season is underway this weekend coming up, and we'll talk shortly about the Safeway. Moving on then into news, all-round news. Big news, big golf news. Since we last spoke, and it was literally, I think, within hours of us last speaking, Rory and Erica announced the arrival of Poppy Kennedy McIlroy. Didn't affect Rory too much at the Tour Championship. He was respectable, I think, in tied. Was it tied 8? I think he finished. A respectable finish and a defence. It'll be interesting to see where he goes from here. Family commitments, etc., etc., leading into the US Open and so on, and whether that nappy factor will come into play in the US Open. What did you think of Rory over the weekend?
I thought the nappy factor was going to kick in very soon. His first round was excellent.
Yeah.
Shot at 64. He was only 4 behind after the first round, you know, back in the tournament. The second round was a little bit of what he's been doing previously since we come back from the COVID break. Overall, his game looks good. I mean, he was, I think it was 8 under for the two rounds. He was his second and third round were a bit average, but he looks good. He looks better than he has at any stage since we returned to golf. And yeah, he's going to be in my thoughts for the US Open, definitely next week. They're saying that Wingfoot is going to be a real, you know, brutal test of golf. You know, we've had brutal tests so far at the Memorial, Muirfield Village, and at Olympia Fields for the BMW Championship. And we've seen various different players either step up to the challenge or fall away badly. And Rory's that sort of player. He'll either go one way or the other.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for clues to see whether he will step up or not. I think the nappy factor is obviously going to be a big thing, and you know, he'll have a different perspective, and it's just debatable whether he will definitely raise his game to the highest level for it.
Well, we'll know soon enough. Moving on from Rory and Erica then, and Poppy. According to the RT.ie, Shane Lowry has confirmed his place at the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, which is a massive coup for the Irish Open, as he is obviously the Open champion. It's taking place again at Gallaghorm Castle in Antrim, 24th to 27th of this month, just a week after the US Open. He said, "I'm really looking forward to getting back home to play the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. As a proud Irishman, this event means a lot to me, and it's always one of the most important tournaments on my schedule each year. I've been fortunate enough to win the Irish Open already, and I would dearly love to win it again. Well, he's a big one to get for the local fans, for the tournament itself, for the sponsors. And that's good news to hear. Not too surprising, let's be honest, but great news nonetheless for the Irish Open.
Yeah, it's great news. I think this is the reason why they had the event at Galgorm.
Yeah.
To kind of circumvent a lot of the, like in the Republic, the quarantine rules are a lot stricter than in the North. And putting the event up there meant that the likes of Shane could come back from the States straight away and have a chance to play. And like Shane come from anywhere in the world to play the Irish Open.
Yeah.
He is a proud Irishman and he's a former winner. And it's the tournament that basically has kind of started his career.
Oh, it launched. So there's no doubt.
So it's great to see him, you know, repay that kind of debt and come back. I'm just worried about whether the golf course is good enough. It's a resort style course. They had the Northern Ireland Open there last week. And it's actually which marked the return of the Challenge Tour. And it seemed to go reasonably well, but I think it's a Challenge Tour course. It's not really top European Tour standard. It's a bit of a filler this year, so we'll take it. And it's great to have the Irish Open on. Yeah, we've had great courses in the last few years. Lahinch was brilliant last year. Ballyliffin, Port Stewart. You know, even the K Club, I know it's got a lot of reputation, but, you know, still a big name course. But Galgorm doesn't really fit in that list to me.
There were some big scores in the Challenge Tour at the weekend, so I'd be worried about how much the course will hold up. But as you said, the reason it's been moved there is plain and simple. It's not for location or of golf. It's the political scene or the... was the travel restrictions 100%, and also to allow the likes of Shane Lowry to come back, because he's a significant player at that tournament. So, but we look forward to it nonetheless. It'll be a good watch, especially with Shane there. Here's hoping he can be in the running on Sunday. That'll help the viewership and so on. Moving on then from the Irish Open, we had the Irish PGA Championship last week. So when we were speaking last, the Wednesday of last week was washed out, so it moved to a 36-hole tournament. So it's Simon Thornton of Tulfaris birdied the first extra hole to edge out Glasson's Colm Moriarty. This is all straight from the RT.ie news broadcast. And he won the 110th Irish PGA Championship. That was, again, held at Rogenstown. He's a Newcastle-based professional, and it was a 30-footer for par to claim his third title. So that's his third crown. He won in 2011, 2018. He had started the final round two shots behind the round one leaders. It was Moriarty and Shane Jenkinson from St. Margaret's. And he is now seventh overall in the Hall of Fame with three wins. And I haven't shown you this information, so I'm going to ask you now to see if you can guess some of the top five or six here in Irish PGAs. So there's a couple of guys of 10, Nigel. So would you want to venture a few historical names in the game that you think might be in there?
Is one of them Harry Bradshaw?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Tied number one.
Christy O'Connor Sr.
Very good, yeah. So there are top two with 10. Then we go down to third place. We have two guys in there. Last win, so I'll give you a little bit of a hint on these two, not that you need them, but both of these have won in the 2000s and upwards. So we're not talking historical in the same way as Christy O'Connor Jr., who last won on the year of my birth, 1978, and Harry Bradshaw in 1957, which was the year of Nigel's birth. So the,
very good.
The last, these two guys tied in third place have both won their final Irish PGA in the since the year 2000, let's put it that way. So who do you think might be in there with six?
Well, I know the obvious one is Mr. Harrington.
Absolutely, yeah.
His last one was the European Club, was it?
2000?
He won three in a row there.
He did indeed, yeah. Did indeed. Yeah.
Famously, he played in the Irish PGA before his, the week before his two open wins. And Pat Ruddy tried to set up the course similar to what he was going to have in across the Open. So that was great preparation for him.
Yeah.
Also, also back then, the Irish PGA was a much more lucrative and a bit more of a prestigious tournament. It's really fallen since then.
Yeah.
It was a four-round tournament then, and it actually had, I think it had proper sponsorship as well and a decent prize fund. Unfortunately, it's fallen by the wayside, but hopefully he can be resurrected. Yeah. The other guy's got six as well, is he?
Yeah.
So it's not Philip Walton, is it?
No, it isn't. He had four, so he's in sixth place on the list.
Let me guess now, and he's done it since
similar era. So I'll...
Not McGinley, is it?
McGinley had four as well, so he's also in tied sixth. Yeah.
All right, I'm on the right track.
You sure are.
Similar era.
To Philip Walton, no.
Yeah. To Philip Walton. It's not Des Smith, is it?
It is indeed. Des Smith, yeah. His six wins, 2001 being his last. Yeah. Very good. So, yeah, quite a significant Hall of Fame there. And Simon Thornton now is seventh in that list, really, with three wins. So, significant achievement on his behalf, and congratulations to him and Tullfarris Golf Club. Obviously, the members down there will be very proud of Simon. So, yeah, that was the Irish PGA Championship, the 110th of it. So, as you said, it's a long-running series. It's just a shame, I suppose, the support for it in recent years hasn't been great. Probably in the last 10 years, let's be honest, hasn't been great for it, either financial backing or from I suppose, the elite in the Irish game. The backing hasn't been as good. Okay, moving on then. Sky Sports have announced, well, they weren't the only ones, but that's where I saw it. Sky Sports have announced that Justin Thomas has been crowned the PGA of America's Player of the Year for a second time. Now, this is not the PGA Tour's Player of the Year, which is a different story altogether. This is PGA of America's Player of the Year. He was awarded the accolade after his FedEx Cup victory in 2017. He won three events during the shortened season this year and topped the regular season standing. So the award is based on a point system for wins. He came in first, and then you had John Rahm and Morikawa in third. DJ was back in fifth. So they're going to announce, PGA Tour are going to announce the Player of the Year later this month, with the winner then determined by a vote of their membership. Last year, Brooks was the PGA Player of the Year, while Rory earned the PGA Tour Player of the Year. There's a lot of these awards, Nigel, but I can't see how DJ isn't going to clean up on these awards in the next couple of weeks. He's the favourite to win the PGA Tour's Player of the Year. It's hard to see anyone else winning it at this stage. What's your view?
I suppose JT does have a bit of a shout since he did win three times, although only one of those was since the break. Morikawa would be the other option.
Yeah.
Since he won the only major of the season. I don't know if it's... I mean, last year there was a big debate about whether Brooks deserved it or whether Rory deserved it. I think that was bit more of a genuine debate with a full season and whether, you know, winning the FedEx Cup was enough to counter winning a major.
Yeah.
I think Morikawa probably has nearly a better shout than JT, yeah, in my opinion.
Because of the major. Yeah, it's a fair point. So we'll have to wait and see. I know they split it last year. Brooks got the PGA Player of the Year and Rory got the PGA Tour Player of the Year. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out in the coming weeks. But JT has landed the first award as such of the award season. So next topic is in response to some feedback on the pod. So I have to make an apology and a correction over something I said last week. And I have to hang my head in shame. So last week, I may have omitted some very important information about myself when I suppose I rounded on John Rahm for picking up his ball. And I was very critical of how a professional could do something like that and that us amateurs wouldn't do something like that. And I was reminded by Mark McHale, of Hidden Horse Experiences. He sent me a message saying, how come you didn't mention the Scramble event of 2017, I think it was. So I was playing a Scramble with Mark and Tom and Jim, some guys that I'm very good pals with, and I play with them regularly. And we were flying along. We had played the nine red, Nigel, in, I think, 800 par in the Scramble. So we were absolutely burning the place up. And we turned across the road onto yellow 4, which was our back nine, 13th hole. And I had pitched onto the green, pin high, but with the length of the green as the putt. So I took the putt and I went up and I marked my ball. And Tom went to hit his putt and he says, "Where's the marker, Dermot?" And I said, "Oh, Beck." I had moved the marker, obviously, to the new place in which my putt had ended up in. So I hadn't left my original marker for the guys to have their efforts in the Scramble. So that was me lifting my marker, if you will. And you know what? My putt that I had hit, the 25-footer or whatever it might be, it went about 5 or 6 feet past the hole. And we all missed the putt coming back. So we ended up with a bogey because I lifted my marker. So I have to apologize there. Yes, I have done it. I've done it in a competition. Can easily happen in a Scramble, though. Would you come to my defense there, Nigel, if you were playing with me, or would you be on my back?
Oh, you let down the team, Dermot. Poor form.
Well, I haven't been let forget it. Every time I'm playing in a Scramble now, when I mark my ball, they all put down a marker as well. So there's like 4 markers down on the ground just to prevent me from drawing
the team. Making that mistake.
Yeah. So there you go. So apologies there. I did forget. I did genuinely forget I had done that. But it didn't take long for someone to remind me. Right. Moving on from news and apologies. I've got a new segment. Well, it's not new. It's an old segment, but it's returning. And it's Rules Corner. So hashtag Rules Corner. So I'm going to put you on the spot with a question. And this happened during the week. Well, someone asked me about this during the week. And I had to consult the rule book again because I was just a little bit unsure. I couldn't give a definitive answer. So I'm going to put you on the spot. So Nigel, you're playing the 6th hole anywhere, right? You're in Augusta. Doesn't matter. You're playing the 6th hole. It's not match play. Okay, so I can rule that out. It's not match play. You play your second shot onto the green. As usual, it's a smashing wedge shot from Nigel. And you put it to 15 feet. You go up to the green, you roll in the putt. Right? Fist bumps, birdie time, well done. Then, as you take your ball out of the hole, you notice, oh, shoot, this is a pinnacle 4. I usually play with a pinnacle 3. Right? So I played a pinnacle 3 from the tee shot, is what Nigel said, but I take this ball out of the hole and it's a pinnacle 4. So you go back to that original place where you played your second shot, and lo and behold, there's another ball to the left of that, just in the rough, and it's your pinnacle 3 that you played from the tee. What's your situation ruling-wise now, penalty-wise? What's your situation, do you think? You've played one shot from the tee. You've played a second stroke with a wrong ball. You've played another stroke, a third stroke, with the wrong ball. And you're now back at your original ball. What are you playing next?
If you just hit it once, it's definitely a two-shot penalty.
Okay.
It's whether you get another two-shot penalty for the birdie putt.
Yes, so that's the tricky part.
I'd say it's probably a 4-shot penalty, is it?
Well, the good news is it's only a 2-shot penalty. So let me just clarify from the rulings here. So in match play, it would be a loss of hole. Okay, that's the end of that. In match play, it's just a loss of hole. But in stroke play, you must correct the mistake by continuing back to the original ball. So if, for example, you were to tee off on the next hole, which is the 7th hole, and only realize during the 7th hole that you had made this mistake, you are disqualified in a stroke play competition. Now, if it's stable for it's a different situation, but in stroke play, you would be disqualified. If you have taken 2 shots illegally or 2 shots with the wrong ball, they don't count. So stroke made with the wrong ball and any more strokes made before the mistake is corrected, they do not count. So that second stroke you took with the wedge to put it on the green, plus the putt that you took, they don't actually count at all. You just received a general penalty which in strokes is a two-shot penalty. So you would approach your ball that's now in the rough, that you've hit once off the tee, you're receiving a two-shot penalty, which puts you at three, so you're now playing your fourth shot. So you were close, but you over-penalized yourself in this case.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sure because, what's the rule? You know, you have a 15th club in the bag.
Yes.
I think you get a two-shot penalty. Is it for every shot that's taken or every hole?
It's every hole. Generally speaking, now this isn't 100% applicable, but generally speaking, the general penalty is only applied once in a hole, unless you have multiple general penalties for different things. But in the same offence, it's only applied once in the hole. So the general penalty there of having the extra club is only applied once in the hole as opposed to every shot.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's tricky. When it came up in conversation the other day, and the debate was literally that dilemma that you had, am I also penalised for the putt I had on the green or not? So an interesting one, if it does ever happen to you, and it seems to happen to some people more than others, if I'm honest with you. And my advice is plain and simple. You need to mark your ball. You need to be very clear in how you mark your ball as well. Whether it's, a lot of people seem to put dots in the ball. Like I usually put initials, and I put some other form of an X or a circle somewhere so that I can easily identify it in the event of losing it. And also, it's really important that you don't mark all your balls the same way. So if you have a tight lies two and, not in C on the ball, and then you take your provisional and it's also a tight lies two with an in C on the ball, then how are you going to be able to identify? So I usually use my initials on the ball. I either circle the number or an X through the number or a square around the number, and I use different formats of that so that at least I know my provisional is a square or it's a circle and my initials would be on it. That's, I think you've got to make it as clear as possible. Particularly what annoys me is when you have people coming over onto your fairway and there's two balls close together and you say, what did you hit? And they say, I think it was a tight list. I mean, like that's 95% of golf balls on the course are a tight list. Yeah, so mark your ball. You typically won't have this issue. And I would strongly suggest as well, you mark it in multiple places on the ball so that you can see it clearly when it's on the ground. Like my markings, I never have to turn my ball. I can tell from 3 feet that it's my ball. And that way you're less likely to hit a wrong ball.
Did that happen to you in the captain's surprise or something, didn't it?
Yeah, so this was 3 years ago. Someone else hit my ball and we didn't get it back. So yeah, that wasn't pretty. But even then I had clearly marked my ball. So I've gone a bit OTT on marking the ball since then, so that anyone who even approaches my ball is going to see a lot of markings on it. Have you ever hit the wrong ball, Nigel? Sure, it can happen to the best of us.
Yeah. It was a ball that came in from another fairway and I thought, that looks like my ball. And then I walked on a bit further, was like, oh no, this is actually my one.
Yeah,
it's a killer. And it's a killer, yeah.
Absolute killer. Right, okay, so that's Rules Corner for this week. Moving on from there then, it's the Safeway Open. So, start of the new season, it's the first of 50 official FedEx tournaments in the new season, 2020 to 2021 PGA Tour season. That includes now 14 that were postponed or cancelled as a result of COVID that have been moved into the season. Tournament is contested at Silverado Resort and Spa, the North Course, and it will serve as the season opener for the seventh time in 8 years since the tour went to a wraparound schedule this time of year. The original 18-hole course opened 65 years ago and is now the North Course. In 1966, it was redesigned by Robert Trent Jones Jr. Par 72, 7,166 yards. Last year's champion was aptly named Cameron Champ, who shot 17 under par to win. That was his first win in a full-strength PGA Tour tournament. And in the field of Irish interest, we've Shane Lowry and Seamus Power. Shane Lowry's going off at 3:30 Irish time on Thursday, and Seamus is going a half an hour before that at 3 p.m. Irish time, which is 7 a.m. off in Silverado's Resort and Spa. So best of luck to both Shane and Seamus as the Irish representatives at the event. I'm sure they'll do us proud. So that leads us in then to Nigel's picks.
Well, yeah, this is the first tournament of the season. And then we had a We had to really wait a long time for golf to return. You mentioned Cameron Champ there. He won't be defending his terms. He was at Eastlake on Monday and will not be making the trip over to Silverado. There's nobody who played the Tour Championship here this week. But there are some big names who are looking for, you know, a bit of preparation before US Open next week. We've got Siwoo Kim as the favourite. We've Phil Mickelson, who's our headline pick this week, vying for favouritism. Obviously, got Shane there, Sergio Garcia.
Spieth is there, 5-1 as well.
Jordan Spieth, yeah, he's looking to find something in the dirt this week. So they would be the big names. Brendan Steele's also up there at the top of the market. He won it back-to-back in 16 and 2017. There's been a few noises made about Harald Varner's chances. I think he could go well. He's been cut in price, though, severely, so I'm not going to put him up. As I said, I've put Phil Mickelson up as the headline pick. 2.5 points each way at 20-1. The reason I've gone with him is he won his first start on the Champions Tour. Yes, he may be 50 years old, but Phil has still got it. He shot some very low scores there in his Champions Tour debut. He's definitely looking at this as a preparation for making up for his disastrous finishing hole at Wingfoot in 2006. He has previous form of winning a tournament before a major. He likes to perform well the week before a major. So he will be gunning for this tournament this week. He's got 3 top tens here in the last 5 years. I think his price is a bit short, but I think his motivation and his perspective is going to be in the right place. So of the guys at the top of the market, I'm pretty happy to put him forward as the headline selection.
And let's be honest, he's been very good to you since we've come back.
Yeah, he flattered to deceive a bit. You know, he looked good. I think it was at the Travelers, and then he faded on the weekend. The US Open is the holy grail for him to complete the career Grand Slam, and he's going to use this week at the Safeway Open as a springboard towards that. So he doesn't want to perform badly. He's going to try and win the tournament or do as best as he can. So expect him to be contending. And, you know, I think a win is not out of the question, and a top 5 finish is well within his grasp. Yeah. So I think he's a decent selection this week. It's not easy to pick a winner this week rather than last week when I had 30 players. Admittedly, I went for too much value. I should have stuck with maybe the top 5 last week. But this week, we've got 156 players. So we've got a full field, a lot of names that people wouldn't have heard of. So it's not easy to pick a winner, but I think Phil has got pedigree at this course, and he's got the motivation and previous and recent form, at least, to back that up.
Great.
Second selection this week is Luke List at 55-1, 1 point each way. Previous winners here, like Cameron Champ and Kevin Tway, have been big hitters of the ball. Brendan Steele is another long driver. Luke List is a guy who's always up there in the driving stats. He's also got a recent win on the Corn Ferry Tour. He won in one of the Sawgrass courses. He's gone well. Also on the PGA Tour, I think he's in the top 15 in the last month or so. He made it to the FedEx Cup playoffs, albeit he went out after the first event. I think he's got the recent form. He's had a previous fourth place finish here. I think it was 2 years ago. So I think he's nicely positioned. Previous winners here have never really been anything below 50-1. So I think he's at a nice price point, 55-1. Third selection is Charles Schwartzel at 60-1, 1 point each way. Charles was going well recently at the 3M Open. Has played well here in the past, albeit only in one appearance here in the last 6 years, but he finished tied sixth. He's obviously got form, recent form. He's come back after somewhat of an injury in the last year or so, and he's swinging well, and he's got the motivation and would like to obviously perform well in advance of next week. The next pick is Cameron Tringale at 60-1, 1 point each way. Cameron also made the FedEx Cup playoffs. He did it with relative ease. He's got some recent form from, I think it's also from the 3M Open. He's had solid finishes here in the past. And I just think as a California native himself, I think he'd be looking to go well this week. 1 point each way, 60-1. Troy Merritt is the next selection. Troy almost got us the big win at the Barracuda. Just got pipped into second place. He is a fourth place finish here from 2018. He's clearly going well in recent form. He's got course form. And 66-1 looks a bit of a juicy price. So we're going to 1 point each way on him. The last selection is also a California native. It's Nick Watney at 125-1, a half point each way. Nick is obviously, he was the first player to test positive with COVID-19 on the tour. So his recent form has been patchy, but he did have a tied 12th place finish recently. And he last year he was finished tied 10th here. So I think three-figure price may be a bit high for Nick Watney. So there are the selections for the Safeway Open. We got Phil Mickelson at 20-1, 2.5 points each way. Luke List, 55-1, 1 point each way. Charles Schwartzel, 60-1, 1 point each way. And Cameron Tringale, 60-1, 1 point each way. Troy Merritt, 66-1, a point each way. And Nick Watney, 125-1, 0.5 point each way.
Fantastic. Right. Plenty to watch there.
Would you also like to hear Portugal Masters?
Let's do it.
I'm going with Laurie Cantor at 50-1, 1.25 points each way. The Portugal Masters yielded a lot of English winners, and Laurie Cantor has been going very well recently. This could be a low-scoring event with lots of birdies. And at a recent event, I think it was, I can't remember the name of the course, Hanford Manor, or it was one of the English courses recently, where Laurie went low. He had 63 at one stage. So I think he's a good bet for this week. Doesn't tend to have very low price winners. It tends to have, you know, 50-100-1 winners at the Portugal Masters. So I've gone for, also gone for Pablo Larrazabal at 66-1, a point each way. Sebastian Soderberg is going well, 66-1, also a point each way. Both of these guys have been going well recently. Larrazabal showed well initially last week at Valderrama, and Soderberg was going well in the UK swing. Another guy who's going well at the moment on the UK swing was a guy called Callum Hill, also at 66-1, a point each way. I also have Jake McLeod, 80-1, a point each way. Jake was top 10 here last year, and it's been going well recently. He also showed well at Valderrama. Another guy shown well recently is Adrien Sadier, French guy, 100-1, three quarters of a point each way. And he also is top 10 here from last year. And the outsider is a guy called Jonathan Thompson, otherwise known as Jigger Thompson. He's a big guy from England, 500-1, a quarter point each way.
Super, super. Week at Donabay Golf Club this weekend, so it's our captain's qualifier. So firstly, are you playing Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday at the moment.
Saturday. The usual crew?
Yeah.
And how do you feel about it? Do you think you can put a score together? I know this weekend just gone, with the presidency, you had been away for a couple of weeks, so you were going to be a little bit rusty. How do you feel about going into this weekend?
A little bit more confident, but the irons aren't really performing that well. I think I've improved the driving a bit, but I don't know. I wouldn't be that confident, really. It's all about qualifying, really. I just want to put a solid base in you know, if you're offering me 72 net now, I'd bite your hand off. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, because you just want to be in position. You don't necessarily need a 64 the first day. Although, don't get me wrong, if you offer me a 64, I'll take it. but I think a lot of members would take a 72. It would put you in the top 16.
Yeah.
Probably for top 12 actually going into the final day, which is a great position to be in. Fingers crossed. I think I'm out in the morning around 10-ish on the Saturday. I have a big weekend of golf, actually. I have the semi-final of the Class 1 on Friday.
Who are you playing?
I'm playing Stephen Conroy. Same handicap.
It'll be a good game.
So he's exactly the same handicap. It was going to be scratch golf anyway, but we're both exactly the same. So he's Friday. Then Saturday is the captain's qualifier. And on Sunday morning, I have the four-ball semi-final. So it could all go south. Like I might be... If I lose both of those and I don't perform on Saturday, this pod is over. I'm giving up golf. But hopefully I'll have success in there. Hopefully.
Who do you have in the four ball?
So myself and Tom are playing Dermot Cullen and Pat McNeil.
They beat us in the second round.
Did they? Right. So
yeah, they have a lot of shots.
They have, and they're experienced match players, for want of a better word. Experienced match players.
Yes.
We'd have to be on our game for sure. And hopefully I don't shoot a 64 on Saturday and then get loads of shots cut. But anyway, that's another story for another day. Yeah, so big week.
Best of luck with that.
Yeah, cheers. Cheers. So yeah, so best of luck over the weekend. I'm sure I'll see you down there at some stage.
Yeah.
And
looking forward to it.
Tips, hopefully we can win some money.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks again, Nigel. And we'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, that Dermot. Thank you.
So just to confirm, this podcast is not sponsored in any way. All views expressed in this podcast are my own and do not represent the opinions of any entity whatsoever with which I have been, am now, or will be affiliated. Please do subscribe to the podcast, Brad Golf TV. You'll find me on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Google, etc., etc. Please follow, like, retweet, and share on social media. It's Brad Golf TV on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. On Facebook, you'll find me at bradgolf.ie. And you can also drop me an email at bradgolftv@gmail.com. Looking forward to hearing from you in the weeks and months ahead. You've been listening to Brad Golf Podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Please do come back soon and join me for another round.